Right now it is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal, where we get together with Sean Constant and also Janet Manco, and we talk about stories that you'll find in this week's edition of the Lakeville Journal and Millerton News. And we say good morning. Good morning, guys.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
There she is.
There she is. She's we've got her.
You know, Frontier decided to do work in front of the station last week, Janet, and one of the things they did was, for some reason, decided to remove that second line.
Oh, my gosh. Just didn't say anything. Didn't think it would matter to anybody.
No.
And then after we got that, try explaining that. I'd like credit for that. But after they fixed that, all joy, except that our main lines were crackling
away.
So
they had to come back again. Well, anyways, yeah. It's all fixed, and all is well now in Robin Hood radio phone land.
Fine-tuning. That's what it takes.
All right. We go to the front page of the Lakeville Journal today, and we'll get to the fall festival, but great story by Deb Alexanis about nursing homes. The headline says, deal with new reality, but I would say deal with new realities.
Yes, that's true. The sort of main thrust of this story is that agencies are still trying to figure out, like the CDC, what kind of protocols to suggest to everybody. While the institutions like nursing homes and schools are dealing with a different kind of reality. So you're right, there's multiple realities going on. This story emanated from some concerns we heard from both GEAR and Noble Horizons about a little bit of an uptick in COVID. There is a little bit of an uptick statewide, but essentially, everybody probably knows it's on the wane, and so we're dealing now with a situation where we're approaching somewhat of a flu season coming. Nursing homes are seeing a little resurgence in infections, and we have boosters out there that people are sort of slowly willing to accept. So I think the disease has been steadily on the decline, but we're still wrestling with how to cope with it.
Yeah, what's going to happen is going to be over the next several years, not only dealing with the effects of COVID-19 and the different variants, but see how long term they are. And seeing as you've had this big of a shakeup, nursing homes and hospitals and schools are really going to have to be on their toes from here on in, like they have not had to be before that. And normally that means more cost and more money to operate. So it's going to be something very interesting to follow long term.
Yeah, and we can't forget it affects all businesses who have people come in and out, you know, and those businesses are watching these healthcare businesses and seeing what they're doing.
I'll be honest with you, we still have the sign up outside here. We have such a small staff, only employees of Robin Hood Radio admitted, because one person gets stuck when you got a four-person staff and you're in big trouble.
That's right. That is
so
right.
That's our new reality that we're dealing with, and I'm sure it's the same. You have the same problems at the newspaper, and you're right, other businesses. But the good news on the front page, not only the pictures but the story. Saturday was one of the busiest days I've ever seen for the Fall Festival in Salisbury. But the Fall Festival has returned, and very successfully.
Yes, and it was also a fairly warm day, which was nice. So all through the center of town there was just chock-a-block with people and all kinds of entertainments, magicians entertaining the children making slime out of some kind of concoction, which is explained in the paper. There was a brewski festival, sampling up to 30 different kinds of beer from breweries on Sunday. And there were all kinds of booths going on, and it was just a big fall festival day.
And I can tell you that the attendance was bigger than I've ever seen it, because going up to my house on Factory Street, normally cars are parked on both sides of the road up till the end of the picket fence of the house that's across from Town Hall. cars were parked on both sides of Factory Street, up past the break-off where you went up the other mountain. It was the most I've seen cars parked up that far since I've been there, which is 12 years. So it was a real busy day. And it's good to see because, you know, normally when something's been affected for 2 years, it's hard to bring it back. But they brought it back. They did a great job.
Yeah.
This is an interesting story that you have in the journal from the Connecticut Mirror. I talked about it a little bit this morning, and that is Connecticut child care workers are slated to receive $1,000 bonuses. It's not exactly what it seems at the headline, but it is one of the few times where the state has stepped in to help out these workers.
Yeah, well, they've done this before, but this is an effort on the part of, at this point, Lamont and his Office of Early Childhood to plug a little hole in the pay of and the service levels of child care workers. It has done this in the past to help out nursing homes and community-based social service organizations, but this time, his office sort of announced using money to boost one-time bonus payments. There's a little controversy here in that some people in the legislature were of the view that this money, so-called wage support, was supposed to be used to sort of consistently upgrade the salary basis and not have a one-time bonus, which comes out right around election time. But the child care world is fraught with a labor shortage. So this is certainly a positive thing for those who are going to receive the bonuses.
I think it's good news. I think the state and government should step in and help out in that area as much as they can. Still dealing with health care, and this is the Dutchess County side of the story now. Save Sharon Hospital has had these community forums all through Connecticut, and they had one in Millerton, New York. And once again, there is concern from Dutchess County, and so there should be, because a majority of the patients really that come to the emergency room at that Sharon Hospital are from Dutchess County.
That's correct. I think on average about 65 out of 100 are from Dutchess County, and the balance being from Northwest Corner. This was a third installment of a roundtable series of meetings that the Save Sharon Hospital organization is holding. There was one more last night down in Kent, and then there will be a rally on Sunday coming up in Sharon on the town green, and all of this is leading up to what is a sort of important October 18th public hearing held by the Office of Health Strategy. I think the biggest concern over in Dutchess County was that once it's a slippery road, they would say that once you start to implement cutbacks, you run the risk of essentially turning Sharon Hospital into an urgent care center where people just get transferred. But that's what the story was in Millerton last Wednesday.
All right. Boy, you can hear a little activity behind you there in the background and at the Lakeville Journal this morning.
Yeah, let me get those guys.
We'll move on to some other stories here that we're following for you this morning on the Lakeville Journal. And the winter clothing drive is back once again for all ages, coming up on November 5th from the All Saints of America Orthodox Church,
which is so important. They do this every year, and it's a huge help to people who can benefit from it. And so the information is here to bring coats, sweaters, hats, gloves, scarves, and boots. And so by all means, take part in that.
You know, you've got a story about that, and I also want to dovetail it here because it's kind of connected. In the Millerton News, there is a big feature story on the Sunday in the Country food drive that I urge people to look at. Once again, it's people helping people in our community. So I just wanted to plug it.
This is the season we all start to think about it. We realize the holidays are coming. We need to remember that after the holidays, too, and before, people are in need of support and have, problems getting food on their table. So this is what they need help with, and Sunday in the Country has done that so well for so many years. And so, do read that story in the Millerton News, and keep track. We are also working on a food pantry story that will analyze all the pantries in the region, in New York State and Connecticut, so you can see what's in your area, especially if you're new to the area. You'll become aware of what the opportunity is to support others.
All right. And this is what you got to love about local journalism. A septuagenarian lifted 500 pounds. This is over in Boston Corners, and set a record. I think this is a great story.
It's an incredible story. And how about that photograph of Mike Birch, who is 72 years old and, lifts 500 pounds. Just think about that. It's unbelievable. So read the story. It's by Elias Sorich, who's new to us as a freelancer right now and just did a great job speaking with Mike and getting his story down and understanding what happens at this level of weightlifting, deadlifting, I guess they call this, 500 pounds. And, if you saw this guy on the street, Mike, you'd say, I bet that guy can lift quite a heavy load. And sure enough, it would be true.
All right. We'll move on to Kent, Connecticut now. And officials struggling, I like the headline, with noise and traffic woes.
Yes. Here's a story that is not unique to the area, really, but Kent seems to be observing a resurgence or after the pandemic return to normality with a lot of people sort of racing around, getting places. And the end result is that people are just not obeying traffic laws in Kent. And so they're kind of debating whether or not to equip the trooper down there with a decibel meter. They're trying to figure out how to slow people down. And that's something that they haven't really, solved. They also are, as we've covered before, they're considering hiring a trooper, a second trooper, to be in the Kent Central School. And that trooper would spend time when not in school also servicing the town. And that also came up, like, how can we get this under our control?
Got a comment about the picture on that page, the old-time farm stand, the old truck that is sitting there. That's a great picture.
I know. It's an old vintage Chevy truck that was pulled out of a barn. It had to be pulled.
Yeah. I want to go on to the story about Region 1. We videotaped those meetings and played them back, and normally you get a few comments on them, but a lot of comments came to us on this one because they really approved a couple of different things. An advanced placement class. They already have a class that's like it, but the updates that have to be done at the high school are about to be approached again. This is a very big story for Region 1 and for the budgets.
Yes, they're looking at, essentially, they approved sort of earmarking about $120,000for proposals with engineers and architects to look at updating the fire alarm system, replacing the HVAC components, and some of the HVAC dates back to the 1960s. So there's a lot of work on capital maintenance of capital at the school.
It's people. What people, the notes we got, didn't we just? No, we didn't just. If you've got a building, and it's a big, and it's a school building, guess what? You have to keep up with maintaining it. And look what happened when they let the science lab go for so long. This is something that's going to have to be done not only in that building, but other buildings as well. People just have to realize these are important infrastructure portions of our towns. And yes, they need to be updated and fixed. That's just the way it is. Now,
they're also also updating something else, which is the way that they do outreach for prospective students, and that's coming up right around the corner here, early November, with Ian Streber is going to be sort of guiding 7th and 8th graders through the school who are prospective Hoosie students.
You know, and I want to mention Housatonic football was gone for a couple of years. They've teamed up with Gilbert and I think Northwestern, and they are having a fantastic season. They've actually got a varsity and a JV team, and they're winning a lot of games, and they had a pep rally, and they had so congratulations to Housatonic and the other schools for bringing back something which was waning because all the schools have declining population. I did an interview last week with Amanda Halley, and we were talking about all the different changes in Medicare and the Advantage plans. Well, your story here says that there is a local way where people can go and listen to the changes on Medicare from the Agency on Aging.
Yes. It's actually 1 week from, you know, today, October 20th on Thursday, at the Senior Center in Town Grove in Lakeville, there will be a discussion on Medicare basics. And just as you said, it's a really important thing. Open enrollment has begun on October 15th, so we're around the corner with that. Amanda Halley is going to be doing a question and answer session on Medicare basics.
There's just a lot that, you know, the more you think you know, the less you know, because changes are coming so quick and steady with the Medicare Advantage programs, and you see all these commercials on TV. Don't be swindled. Speak to the people that actually deal with it, the experts. All right, a picture that a lot of people are very sad to see, but that's the Salmon Kill Bridge. Repair work has gotten underway on that.
There it is. They hope to, the town hopes to get the, there's a big gap now, the bridge is gone, and they hope to essentially have the abutments in place this fall before winter sets in. But the work is underway, it's only one of a few projects that this is supposed to last till spring before the roads opened again. I think we covered that a couple of weeks ago. But they're also doing a few other things, like still restoring stones at the public cemeteries and working on a new sidewalk in front of the Scoville Library. So all of this is kind of happening. The rail trail is going to be sort of spruced up a little bit. A lot going on in Salisbury on repairing and getting things up to snuff.
And speaking about getting ready for Brian Ross just passed along to us this morning. They've poured the foundation at the work being done at the Hotchkiss Library in Sharon, which means that it's going to be able to progress through the winter now, and they are going at a record-breaking clip there. So good news on that point as well. Bear feeding, the ordinance in North Canaan, is going to face a town vote.
Yes, this was... spelled out in a previous story what the issue is. They are really sort of specifying the infraction fines or the fines that you'll get if you are found to be feeding these bears. They're not inexpensive. It's $250 for the first infraction. It goes up from there, $350, $450 for the third. So it's an issue of public safety all across Northwest Corner. Other thing that is coming up here is that another piece of capital improvement is that the town, North Canaan, received a grant for some work over at the Canaan Child Care Center, and they are going to be upgrading windows, the alarm system, and some new fencing, and I think some work done on the playground. Fran Chappelle is very happy about getting this kind of improvements for the Canaan Child Care Center. The thing that happened was that North Canaan officially signed up with the other towns opposing the Sharon Hospital cutbacks. That's just sort of a a footnote to what's been going on.
All right. We're going to get back to Compass very quickly in a few moments, but I want to go to the editorial pages. Also, a lot points of view, lots of letters, but an editorial that kind of knocked me off my kilter a little bit, and that is, what will be next? Can't wait to see. Janet, I'll let you address this.
Sure. What's happening here, and I invite everybody to please read the editorial because I get my thoughts out there pretty succinctly and well, I think. So our nonprofit board is forming a search committee to find someone who can step into the role of CEO at the Lakeville Journal, and you know, we'll see what comes of that. I have been with the paper since 1998, one way or another, and boy, that's a while. And I'm sure there are some in the community who think, yeah, that's kind of too long. So it's interesting, since the paper published, I've heard from a few people who expressed regret that I would be replaced at some point, but you know, it's the way life goes, and I invite those who are glad to see me go to call me. I'll be glad to know I made some people happy.
You have made people happy, and I was one of those people that called her and expressed my, I don't like major change. That's just me. But you've got also a lot of different letters. Once again, it's political season, so there's the political letters and of course, your viewpoint page. We only have 2 minutes left, so I guess we should hopscotch back because Alexander Wilburn has put together quite a big compass.
Right. 2 pages, and he's focused on books this week. The books are As It Turns Out, by Alice Sedgwick Wall. Fascinating. He writes a really good piece analyzing it. And don't miss, on October 15th at 6 p.m. at the Cornwall Library, Alice Sedgwick Wall will be discussing her book. There's also Preppy Kitchen, John Cannell, who will be discussing that book at House of Books in Kent on October 15th at 6. So dueling book discussions. Give this a read to see which is of most interest to you.
All right, all this and much, much more in this week's edition of the Lakeville Journal and Millerton News, tricornernews.com on the web. Janet and John, thanks for joining us again this morning, and we'll check with you next week.
Thank you.
Have a good week.
Thanks.
Right. That is this week in the Lakeville Journal. Of course, you can find it on our own website, Tricorner. You can find it at their website, tricornernews.com. And on our website, robinhoodradio.com, click on demand, click on This Week in the Lakeville Journal.